Go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. Thank you, Jesus. What an honor it is to come together and study Scripture, church. Amen? God, we need you. We need you, God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here with us in this room. We pray that as we study Scripture together, as we open your life-giving word, that you would breathe into our hearts. You would encourage. God, for those here who are far from you, that you would draw them by your sweet spirit. Your word tells us in Romans through the Apostle Paul, he says, don't you know that it is God's kindness that is intended to turn you from your sin? God, we thank you that you are a loving God and a patient God and a faithful God. I pray that you would help me to deliver this word that you've put in my heart. God, that it would encourage us as a church. It would speak life. It would speak direction. God, that it would feed us. And we would leave here full, so that we could go into our city and empty ourselves in service and in love. We thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, there's just a cool presence of God in here this morning. I'm thankful for his presence. Are you guys thankful for God's presence? I'm trying to get into my message, but I can't yet. God is faithful, church. When Jesus, this is not part of my message, but I just got to say this. When Jesus was leaving this earth with his disciples for the last time, he's about to ascend to heaven. And they're like, no, you can't go. Like, imagine the disciples who have been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. And then he starts talking crazy around, like, year number 3. Like, as if it wasn't crazy enough that he's talking about, like, I'm going to tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And people are like, what is he saying? Then he starts talking like, yo, hey, everybody, I'm going to die. And they're like, no. You're not going to die. And then Peter, like, one-ups everybody. Because Jesus is like, you guys are all going to leave me. And Peter's like, no way, man. Not me. Even if I have to die with you. And then we know the story. Peter denies Jesus. And one of the Gospels tells us that Jesus is walking by in the upper room, and he catches Peter's eyes. They make eye contact. Imagine that moment if you're Peter. Then Jesus dies. But he predicted that he would die and be buried, and then he would come back to life. And he pulled it off. I mean, it's not Easter, but we can amen that. Don't save your amens for Easter. That'll also preach. I just wrote another sermon in my head. And then it's like party time in the green room with the disciples, because Jesus is back. Yeah, he's back. And he's back for, you know, he's walking with them for 10 more days. And then he's like, all right, everybody, see you later. Mission accomplished. I'm going to go to heaven. And they're like, no. And Jesus goes, trust me. If I don't go, then he can't come. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's like, I got to go. But trust me, you're not going to be alone. Like, I may not physically be with you. You may not be able to physically break bread with me, but somebody is coming after me. And then the day of Pentecost happens, and the Holy Spirit bursts onto the scene. First time in history, just like these two dimensions collide, and he tears through eternity, and he comes onto planet Earth. And it is now an indwelling presence. Scripture tells us before that the Spirit of God would rest on people. This is the first time that the Spirit of God enveloped people. He just took over hearts and took over lives. And 3,000 people are added to the church. And Peter, who not 50 days ago, a month and a half before this, had denied that he ever met Jesus, now delivers one of the most brilliant sermons in all of Scripture under the authority and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you were 50 days ago. But the Spirit of God is active and alive. And he's moving in our city, church. Now, this kind of language might be weird for you. You may not have, maybe you grew up in church, and maybe you didn't grow up in a church that kind of, you know, those people talked about the Holy Spirit, those people. You know, I'm not trying to poke fun at any different streams or anything, but you just got to know right up front, if you're hanging around here, this is the way we talk. I mean, I know that it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that I am able to sustain what God has asked me to do, what he has tasked me, and what I believe he put me on this earth to do. Outside of that, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to start using heroin because it is too big and too crazy. And the Spirit of God is so good and is so willing to use broken vessels. This is what Scripture tells us. We are broken vessels. Just know that the Spirit of God, when we gather together as a church on weekends, the Spirit of God is active and alive in ways that go beyond comprehension. Because here's what I know. You could sit in your living room on Sunday morning and hear the best preachers on the planet by podcast, guys who could run circles around me. You could listen to the best worship bands on the planet. You could have your own little church service. If all a church service is for you is we're going to sing some songs and listen to preaching, you can do that in your living room. What you cannot experience in your living room is this. The gathering of the saints to lift the name of Jesus high and to do everything we possibly can to lift that banner above our city. You can do that in your home. You can pray, but there is something about gathering with a group of people who call on the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior that you cannot replicate anywhere else. Yes! I'm about to explode with excitement. The Spirit of God is here, and I believe that he wants to just do work in people's hearts this morning. Just do work. There's a TV show, this dude used to say it all the time, 22, son, do work. You got 22-inch biceps, you're a bad dude. Do work. I was up in the studio praying this morning, and I was just like, God, do work. Like, maybe you haven't experienced this, and I'm totally just riffing. This has nothing to do with what I wanted to talk about this morning. But there have been times, and this was kind of one of those times this morning where I felt like to get up and say anything would just like mess stuff up. Like, God just wants to move in people's hearts. And you just felt that presence of God, and you're like, God, I'm not worthy. Like, this moment is entirely too holy for me to be part of. And I just know that what God is doing in this church and what he's doing in our city and the expression that he's giving you and the voice that he's giving to you, people, the church is. It's not just a guy up here, but the voice and the expression that his Spirit is giving to you is unlike anything he's ever done. I'm trying to live in that space. God, do what you want to do. Bring springs of living water into the desert, as the prophet Isaiah says. If you're taking notes, title this morning's message, Faithful and Frustrated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a story in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus, he says this. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up above my head on the sky bowl. I'm reading from the ESV translation in case you're following along in YouVersion or something. Jesus tells this story. So the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too. And whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. So this vineyard owner, he's like, I need to pick me some grapes, man. I need some help. There's too many grapes. So he goes out into the marketplace, finds some guys. He does the same thing 3 hours later. Does the same thing 6 hours later. Same thing 9 hours later. That's a lot of grapes. Like, he severely underestimated the amount of help he was going to need. He kept looking out going, man, that's too many grapes. There's not enough hands. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. So they weren't like out there working and proving themselves about how good. They didn't have a resume for picking grapes. They weren't like out there picking up pebbles, the finest pebbles. He goes, wow, I could really use that skill right there. Just saw him standing. And he asks him a question. He goes, why do you guys stand here idle all day? And they said, well, nobody has hired us. And then he says, you know what? I want you on my team. You go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they were going to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up, guy who I met today and gave me a job. I've been working out here all day. This guy got here an hour ago. And our paychecks look pretty darn similar. These guys only worked an hour and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. So he replies to one of them. It's a whole group of disenfranchised people. And the owner looks at one of them and goes, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Face palm. Like, imagine that guy. He's like, wait. Those guys have been here for an hour. They're getting the same paycheck. He's like, Rick, Chris, Jeff, come over here. Look at all these guys. He's like, we should unionize. They're like, Chris, you're the best talker. You go talk to him. He's like, all right. Hey, man. These guys have been here for an hour. Doing good, right? They got paid the same. We've been here all day. We want our money. They're like, yeah, get it. And he's like, excuse me. It's my money, my vineyard. This is what we agreed upon. And he says, if I choose to make them, the later workers, equal, if I choose to make them equal to you, what business is that of yours? Because the guy's like, we've been out here in the scorching heat. You didn't give us a little spray fan from the fair? Nothing. It's hot. We're out here picking your grapes, bro. You're going to make money on it. This is not fair. They're faithful and frustrated. I want to tell you a couple things about faithfulness this morning. First thing, faithfulness is not fair. What is Jesus communicating to them right here? The kingdom of God doesn't treat people fairly. It treats them equally. Because fair is a moving target, isn't it? What's fair one day is maybe not fair another day. I think one of the biggest hindrances to faithfulness is the idea of fairness. Let that sink in for a second. One of the biggest hindrances to faithfulness is the idea of fairness. Here's what I know. There are people who have been faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful. And you're a little frustrated. Maybe you've been faithful at your job for 20 years, and some intern got promoted right over the top of you. That's an injustice in your mind. If I just speak in the context of this church, well, I can because I have the microphone on the pastor, so. There are people who have been serving here for a very, very, very long time. Well, not that long. We have our 5-year anniversary in a couple weeks, so not that long. Yeah! 5 years? 5 on 6, baby. September 6th, we turn 5 years old. Tell your friends, tell your wives, don't hide them. Tell them. Bring your kids, bring your wives. We should start with that song, Steve. Steve just goes like this. You've been faithful and you're frustrated. I mean, has anybody, maybe this isn't your current situation, but has anybody in this room ever at any point been frustrated because of faithfulness? Welcome to the club! We should make faithful and frustrated club cards. And anytime you're frustrated in faithfulness, you can pull it out and go, I'm part of the club too. Because faithfulness can be frustrating. We need to get beyond our concept and our Western idea of what fairness is, because the kingdom of God is not fair. It doesn't treat people fairly. It treats them equally. And what does that mean? We are all equal laborers and co-laborers for the kingdom of God. Someone who has been walking with God for 30 years, when it comes to how much you mean to God and your reward, which is in heaven, you are no different. You've been walking with God for 60 years than a guy who has been walking with God for 60 seconds. And we don't like that because that's frustrating. Because if you've been walking with God for 60 years, you've been toiling in the scorching heat, you've been laboring, you've been picking grapes, and a guy who got here 60 seconds ago, who doesn't even know what John 3:16 says, God forbid, he can't even find Nehemiah in the scriptures. That guy gets the same reward. That's because the kingdom of God is not fair. It's equal. Thank God for that. Because there's going to be a time in your life where you're glad that the kingdom of God is equal and not fair. I promise you that. Time is coming, sister. You're going to be like praising God for Matthew chapter 20. You're mad right now, but when the time comes, you're going to be like, yes, thank God that he said, if I want to treat them equally, what business is it of yours? You're going to be like, thank the Lord that it's equal. You're going to write that song. We're not going to sing it because that was a bad song. You just come in for his time and people are like, praise God that the kingdom is equal. Steve's just running around the whole stage. That was weird. Turn to Matthew 26. Here's why faithful, another reason why faithful is frustrating. First thing, it isn't fair. Second thing, it isn't easy. Is faithfulness easy? No. Here's an example of when faithfulness was not easy in Matthew chapter 26. And here's the cool thing. We look at Scripture, and I'm thankful that God kept all the screw-ups in Scripture. Like, he kept all the people who just were bad at life. Like, you're bad at life, bro. And he kept them in the Scripture to encourage me when I'm bad at life and to encourage you that, well, if God can use that bozo, praise God. It's equal. Yay. But I want to show you an example of when faithfulness wasn't easy for Jesus. So if you start thinking there's something wrong with you because being faithful isn't easy, it wasn't easy for God in human form. It required a conscious decision and a conscious choice for Jesus to be faithful to the plan. Scripture tells us, Jesus said this, I could call God, I could call angels, and he would send a host to save me from this. So Jesus had the option of not going to the cross. That was within his power. I'm glad that he was faithful to the plan. Ken said amen real loud because he's faithful as well. Thankful and faithful. But here's Jesus. Jesus went with him to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here. I'm going to go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. If this isn't a source of frustration for Jesus, he brings Peter, who is like just neurotic at times. And then he brings James and John, these two guys who were arguing about who's going to sit next to Jesus in heaven. Like, this is his crew of, like, his inner circle of guys. A dude who has bad aim with a sword, because I think he was aiming for the guy's head, and the dude was like, whoa! Cut his ear off. Hey! Like, Matrix Peter. You got that guy, and then you got James and John who are arguing about who's the best. I mean, as a leader, if you've ever been frustrated, take some notes from Jesus. If you're a boss and your employees are frustrating you, look at Jesus' inner circle. It's Peter, James, and John. James and John's mom was a nightmare if you read Scripture. I'm not lying. It's in the book. It's in the thing. Look at it. She was a nightmare. This is Jesus' crew. He has to be faithful while he's working with these idiots. That's encouraging. We're going to talk about this at staff meeting tomorrow night, everybody. I'm just kidding. I got these idiots. So he takes Peter, James, and John, and he says, Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Faithfulness is hard right there. Faithfulness isn't easy. You guys all agreed with me that there have been times in your life where faithfulness isn't easy. Here's Jesus going, this is hard. And he goes, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, and here's the thing where Jesus, this is what shifts, and he chooses faithfulness. The church that I see is full of people who are not faithful when the weather conditions are proper. Because the weather conditions are not always going to be ideal for you to be faithful. Faithfulness is a choice, a daily choice. Faithfulness in your marriage, faithfulness at your job, faithfulness to your word, hello. That's a daily choice. You wake up and choose your spouse every day. Somebody said this. I was having a conversation this week, actually, in the coffee shop. And it's a brilliant, it's Professor Whitworth. And he told me, here's the thing about marriage is you don't get married. He's like, I didn't get married, I'm getting married. Like every day. I get married every day when I wake up because I choose to be married to that person every single day. And I was like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It just like exploded in my heart. But faithfulness is a choice right there, isn't it? Is it easy to be married, the married people in the room? Everybody's afraid their spouse is sitting next to them? Yeah. Yes, it's so easy. You're great, sweetie. You're great. Love you so much. Wontons after church? Okay. Is there a wonton restaurant? What is happening? But here's why faithfulness isn't easy. Because faithfulness requires us to be anchored somewhere. Like those choices anchor us in a place. You know the kind of people who lead like really carefree lives that are free of frustration? People who are not committed and anchored and faithful. Let me use this word picture to describe it to you. Imagine that you're a ship in a harbor and you've dropped anchor. To stay anchored, which is what faithfulness is choosing to be there. To stay anchored is easy when the sea is calm and the wind is not blowing. But as soon as the waves start tossing and the wind starts blowing and the weather patterns change, what happens to the rope that has that ship connected to the anchor? It gets tight. There's tension. And it's, you know who doesn't experience tension in life? People who are not anchored. That are they just go with the flow. They're not having to choose to be in a situation that is not fun. Like people who pursue carefree, like Hakuna Matata kind of lives. That's like one of the worst sermons you could ever hear is The Lion King. Hakuna Matata. What? If you're pursuing that, you're never going to do anything of any significance in life ever. Pursuing a carefree life, no. You will have problems in this life, Jesus said. But take care, for I have overcome the world. You're going to have trouble. Get ready. But don't trip, because I've overcome the world. Sometimes the most frustrated people are the most faithful people. So if you are faithful and frustrated, let me know, or let me tell you that sometimes the frustration that you're feeling is a byproduct of how faithful you actually are. Because it's not easy to stay faithful. What did we talk about? The first week that we were in this building, firm hands and strong knees. Firm hands to, with faith, lay hold of what God has said, and then strong knees to not let anybody push us off of what God has called us to do. That is not easy. Faithfulness isn't fair. Faithfulness isn't easy. But let me encourage your hearts. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Whoa, Nelly. I hope that if you're in this room, and you are just frustrated in faithfulness. You are faithful and frustrated. I pray that through this, your heart is encouraged. Nothing of significance is done without opposition. True? True. A great marriage is not built without some opposition and tension. Faithful, God-fearing children are not raised without some opposition and tension. The parents of teenagers said amen. Building a business to fund the kingdom of God is not done without some opposition and some frustration. Nothing of significance is ever built without opposition. The kingdom of God was established at the cross in opposition. I mean, opposition is all through Scripture. So if you're facing some opposition and maybe you feel like maybe you miss God, you might just be exactly where God wants you to be. And because of where you are and because of your faithfulness, there is opposition. I hope this is preaching to somebody this morning. There's opposition. Your flesh doesn't like faithfulness. Let's stop pretending that all the opposition is exterior. What about you having to overcome all the voices in your head that are telling you it's not worth it, that are telling you you can't do it? Who are you to think that you could possibly establish something like that? You come from 5 generations of divorce. What makes you think you're going to be any different? That's some internal opposition. You have started 8 different businesses and failed every time. What makes you think this one's going to be different? There's some internal opposition. You got 5 kids, and every single one of them is crazy. What makes you think you can lead people in the house of God? You can teach people. You've been fired from every job that you've had for the last 10 years because there's something wrong with you. What makes you think this one's going to be different? That's opposition. It is internal opposition that is not happy with faithfulness. Faithfulness ain't fair, it ain't easy. But this is what Scripture tells us in Romans, and I pray that this is what encourages your hearts. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He says, not only this, but we rejoice in our suffering. Why? Because we know suffering produces endurance. Does faithfulness take endurance sometimes? Yeah. Yeah, all the time. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. You want to be a person of character, you're going to experience some opposition. It's not going to be easy. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So, if we are logically following Paul's rhetoric, and he was very trained in rhetoric, we could say this, that if you stay faithful in your opposition, it's going to produce hope. That somewhere down the chain, faithfulness, perseverance, endurance, character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope does not put us to shame. Anybody use a little hope this morning? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Would you just open your heart this morning and let God pour a little love in there by His Holy Spirit? I don't know what each one of your current stories looks like. I know a fair amount of them. But I can imagine there's a fair bit of people who are going to walk out here, and you could really use some hope walking out those doors. Some of you are about to walk into a place where your faithfulness is not fair and your faithfulness is not easy. But I just want you to imagine what your life will look like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the road. If you establish yourself and anchor yourself in faithfulness. Like it, husband and wife, it might be hard right now. But imagine what your life could look like in the future if faithfulness is part of your story. I've just been praying for marriages this week. I mean, I got marriage on my radar in 76 days, so, you know. About to join the club. About to have a lawn to mow. So fun. Faithfulness in your lawn is not easy. But it produces hope, my friends. Can we stand this morning, church? I just want to pray and then.